The Lord has blessed our church with an arsenal of men and women that can stand and preach God's word. And we're so grateful to have one of the sons of one church is going to stand today and declare the truth of God's word. And so his name is the one and only Aaron Dominic. Give God thanks for Aaron that's going to preach God's word today. I want to remind you of one thing. Today we're actually hosting a march here in Midlothian, Texas, meeting at 6 p.m. at the police department. We're going to march from the police department downtown to Heritage Park as we are marching for equality. So if you have something going on, if you can, put this on your schedule at 6 o'clock and change your time wherever you have to go and come march with us for equality. Tonight at 6 p.m., beginning at the Midlothian Police Department, we're going to march our way downtown, through downtown to Heritage Park right in front of the City Plaza. So we thank you so much. Give him your signature, give him your love, Aaron Dominic.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, One Church. Good morning to all of our visitors, everybody that will be joining us on live this morning. Definitely excited to have the opportunity to share God's word. This last month of my life has been rather interesting, and so we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to the 11th chapter of the book of John. And here you'll find a story at some point or another you've heard. If you were in Sunday school or if you've been in church longer than one weekend, you've heard the story of Lazarus. And this morning I want to talk briefly from the subject, the truth about trials. The truth about trials. If you all remember, I was very young when this was happening, but before the age of cell phones, smartphones, having the cameras on our phones, you had the old school camera, right? And after you would fill up to capacity, you would take all the pictures, you would have to take the film to a store, to some photo lab, and get the film developed. Now, the picture that you took originally, once you pull the film out and you hold it up, you look at it, and it's rather small. The film is dark, and it's kind of hard to make out. But after the film has spent some time in the photo lab with the developer, when you get the product back, it looks better than what you sent in the first place. And they typically call this a dark room. That's where the developer will take the film and he will begin to, sometimes they put it in water, they hang it to dry, they use UV lights, whatever. And again, what you get back looks so much better than what you initially, the picture that you initially took. And so while we can't always see what God is doing, sometimes he has to take the negatives, that's what they call those pictures, when you first submit them, they call them negatives. Sometimes he takes the negatives that we experience in our lives, and sometimes it seems like it's one right after the other. Yeah. He takes the negatives, takes them to his dark room, so to speak. He works behind the scenes, and then what is produced after you come out of the dark room is better than what you looked like when you went in. And one way that God does this is through trials. Now, I understand that nobody likes to suffer. Nobody likes to go through tough situations. But as a believer, we are not exempt from suffering. We are not exempt from hard times. We are not exempt from trials. So before we get too far, let's take a moment and define what a trial is. Now, in the context of court and law, typically a trial is used with two defending sides, right? One wants to prove innocence of somebody. The other one wants to prove that the other one is guilty. And trials can last anywhere from days to weeks to months. And I don't know if some have lasted years or not, but it can be really, really drawn out. And during this trial process, both parties, along with the jury, they're taking time to examine evidence on both sides, to examine what one person may or may not have done. And once they have weighed all the evidence, then they make a decision whether the person is guilty or the person is innocent. And let me just say this morning, when we go through trials, it is an opportunity not to prove whether we're innocent or guilty, because we know that we are made righteous through Jesus Christ, but is an opportunity to test our faith. What we profess on a daily basis, a weekly basis, wherever we are, those things that we have professed, it is an opportunity for those things to be tested. Is what you're saying with your mouth the same? Does it match the action of your feet? And so in the context of the trial, type of trial we'll be talking about today, the Greek word for that is parasmos. And it simply means adversity, affliction, trouble, sent by God and serving to test or prove one's faith, holiness, or character. You all remember the story of Abraham when he had to take his son up the mountain, right? That was a test from God. And as he held the knife up, the angel of the Lord said, "Stay your hand. I know now that you fear the Lord." So not only what Abraham professed with his mouth, now his actions lined up. And so that's what we're going to deal with today as we go through trials, the truth about trials. And as I'm sharing, I want to include what has happened in my life over the past month, because it is through my experience that I've come to this realization, what God revealed to me in that month of suffering, that month of hard times. And so, again, if you have your Bibles, John chapter 11, beginning in the first verse, and let's see what it has to say to us. It says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days." The first point that I want to make here regarding the truth about trials is that your trial is purposeful. Your trial is purposeful. So here we have Jesus has just crossed back over the Jordan. He has just been tried to be seized by the Pharisees and the Sadducees for claiming that he was the Son of God. And so now he comes back to Jerusalem. And now he gets word that his friend is sick. And it was interesting to me that after Jesus gets this word, that he remains where he is for 2 days. He hears of the affliction that his friend is going through, and he says, "I'm going to wait 2 more days. Typically, when we're in a situation, we want God to act now. Today, I need you to act on my behalf immediately, or as some say, immediately, right? And so Jesus makes a statement. The sisters send word to Jesus, but Jesus sends a promise back to them. See, the messenger has come and traveled, delivered the news to Jesus, and Jesus sends this message back with them that it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through this sickness, and that it won't end in death. So now the sisters are not without hope. right? They've got something to hold on to. And so when we go through trials, situations, you all, this last month that I spent, the end of April up until the middle of May, about May 15th, I spent in the hospital. And, you know, we're in this COVID-19 season, so the hospitals are very, very strict on visitors, right? They won't allow visitors to come in, and so it was just me. And you all, while I was in the hospital, the only thing that I had to hold on to was the Word of God, the promises that His Word made to me. See, because I didn't have the comfort of my wife to be there. I didn't have the comfort of my friends, my family, my boys. I didn't have anybody there in the room that could comfort me and make me feel better regarding what I was going through. The only thing I had was the Word of God. And I couldn't understand, why am I having to go through what I'm going through? Right? There was nothing that I did intentionally for this moment, this hospitalization to come upon me. I was hospitalized for a bone infection. And with the bone infection, they're typically very hard to get out. They make you very, very sick. Any type of infection makes you very sick, makes your body very weak, right? And so now here I am going through this moment trying to understand, God, why am I here again? And it's important for us to remember that when we go through, you may not have the comfort of family, friends. You may be all by yourself, but what we do have is the promises of the Word of God and what He has to say to us. And so, you know, we quote it all the time, Romans 8:28, right? For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. I want to push it a step further and go to verse 29, where it says, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So let me just pause here for a second and reiterate that your trial is purposeful because God is working something out in you. Yeah. Right? His overall purpose is to conform us to the image of His Son. And last I checked, Pastor just talked about it during our time of communion, that our Savior suffered. Our Savior went through. So that speaks to me and says that I'm not exempt from moments of suffering. But I know that there's an end to it, right? I know that there is a purpose to it. And I know that at the end of it all, it will work out for my good and God's glory. So I say to you this morning, when you have nothing else to hold on to, hold fast to the Word of God, because the last time I checked, He's never been a liar. He's always told the truth. And He's always delivered on His word on His time, not on our time. And this, I'm not going to sit here as though I had it all together when I was in the hospital, as though I did not yell at God, wasn't mad at Him, right? Because I didn't have anybody to understand my frustration. But I had to remember it was purposeful. You see, because my mind wasn't even on it the first night I got in the hospital. Wasn't praying, wasn't doing any of that. And out of nowhere, the Lord speaks to me and He says, don't think that I've forgotten about you. So before I'm about to endure what I'm about to endure for the next 15 days, God has already issued a word and said, I've not forgotten about you. So now not only do I have the written word, the promises therein, but now I have a personal word that He said, don't think that I've forgotten about you. So the next 15 days are going to be tough, right? What you're going to experience is going to be tough. But don't think that I've forgotten about you. And so again, your trials are purposeful. If you remember two chapters ago in John chapter 9, we see a man that's born blind. The Bible declares that he was an older man. He wasn't a young boy, but he had been blind since birth. And the disciples ask, what did he do? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? Why was he born blind? And Jesus makes the statement that, no, he was born blind for the express purpose of God's glory. So he lived his whole life suffering with blindness just for the moment when he meets Jesus for God to get the glory out of his life. And so I don't know how long your trial is. I don't know how long it's going to last. But what I do know is that it's purposeful and for God's glory. Job said in Job chapter 42 that my ears have heard about you, but now my eyes have seen you. Right? The trial that Job went through was unbeknownst to him. There was a conversation in heaven that he didn't hear anything about. Yet he had to live through this for 38 chapters. We see him going through, suffering, back and forth with his friends. And now he gets to the point in chapter 42 that the light bulb clicks and he understands this is the purpose. The purpose of me going through this is the fact that not only do I hear about who you are, but now you have revealed yourself to me and I know who you are. So again, ladies and gentlemen, your trial is purposeful because there's something that God wants to develop in you. The next thing that we see here in this story that I want to point out is that your trial is bigger than you. Your trial is bigger than you. Let's read verses 11 through 15. And it reads, after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Again, we see in this moment, so Lazarus is just playing his part, right? Lazarus is just going through this trial, through this sickness. Jesus makes it clear again to the disciples that I'm glad that I wasn't there to heal him because this is for your sake also. So he's already issued the promise to the sisters, right? Now he shifts to the disciples. Lazarus's sickness was not just affecting Lazarus, but it affected his sisters, it affected the disciples, and then it affected the community who was coming out to comfort the sisters, right? So your trial doesn't just affect you. And that's what I had to understand when I was in the hospital, is that my trial was much bigger than me. I wasn't the only one suffering. I wasn't the only one going through. My wife at home with our two boys having to hold the household together, she had to go through all of that by herself. I couldn't be any of help to her. Friends, family worried about me, what's going on, the surgeries, the procedures. This trial was touching multiple people at the same time. Yet, there was a purpose behind it. And I love the fact that Jesus makes it clear because we know that his disciples struggled from time to time to believe who he was. Sometimes they were in, sometimes they were out. And so now it's another moment for Jesus to prove, hey, I am who I am. I am who you have been hearing me say that I am. And so I want to say that you never know who is looking from the outside in on your trial. You never know who's watching you, right? And it's interesting because as a believer, our lives are on display to those around us. And how you handle or mishandle your trial could affect somebody's ability to see Jesus. If I were to center in on myself, and have just my pity party for Aaron and cry and moan and all this stuff and not realize that this thing is bigger than me. I could have a bad attitude. I could have a negative outlook on life. And I could affect somebody's ability to see that even though I am in the state that I'm in, although I have endured what I have endured, I could affect somebody's ability to see Jesus, to see the goodness, to see the glory of God in my life. And so again, your trial is much bigger than you. The last thing that we need is another Christian, another Christ follower, another professed believer to talk about trusting the Lord. Yet when trial and troubles hit, we tuck tail and run. We try to get out of the trial. We try to avoid the trial. But yet, that's not what we see here. Lazarus is still sick. Lazarus is about to die. And so, again, your trial is much bigger than you. During the onset of my injury, I determined that this was for a purpose. And I've lived with that outlook for the last 2 years, that God had a purpose. And I've seen God come through and be faithful over these 2 years. And then especially this last month, I determined that even though this was a little bit harder for me to deal with, God, you still have a purpose. It's still bigger than me, and it's still going to speak volumes to somebody somewhere. And so the next thing that I want to point out here is that your trial is to be embraced, not avoided. Your trial is to be embraced, not avoided. Let's go to verses 21 through 25. And it reads, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, here's another promise, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And now I want to jump down to verse 32, because now he's had the conversation with Martha. And Martha was kind of one foot in, one foot out. She had some faith on the table, but yet there was still some doubt. And now we get to Mary. And Mary says in verse 32, "When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" So your trial is to be embraced, not avoided. And I get it, right? Nobody wants to go through a situation like this. Nobody wants to have to endure the loss of a loved one. And that's all the sisters were going through, right? We don't want to lose our brother. So Jesus, had you been here, had you showed up on time, my brother would not have died. Now he's dead because you decided you wanted to delay for 2 days. You wanted to hang out in Jerusalem versus getting over here to Bethany. And it was roughly like an 18 to 20 mile trip from Jerusalem to Bethany, I believe. So it wasn't like he had to go a whole long ways. He could have got there. But then also, too, you guys remember Jairus's daughter when she was sick. Before he got back home, Jesus had already said, "Go, your daughter is healed." So Jesus had the ability, even at that moment, to raise Lazarus back up. But yet he waited for 2 days intentionally. And now the sisters say, "You should have been here." Have we ever felt like God should have been here at this time? Why are you delaying in this process? As I laid there in the hospital bed, and I've got text messages to prove it, I've got witnesses to prove it, hey, guys, how can we break me out of here? I'm ready to go home. I'm tired of being in here with these nurses. They're getting on my nerves. I don't like what the doctor is telling me. Hey, it's going to be another week. I don't want to hear any of that. I want to go home. Somebody, please break me out of here. And I'm sitting up 11, 12 o'clock at night. I'm blowing phones up. Somebody get me out of here because I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of being here in this place. But God would not allow that to happen. Every time I sent for it, they always said, nope, you need to be there. You got to wait. You got to do what the doctor's saying. That's not what I wanted to hear. When we are going through trials and tough situations, we don't want to hear the word wait. We don't want to hear the word here. Just go through it, right? It'll be okay. And what's interesting is that Mary and Martha, had they gotten what they wanted and their brother, him not dying, the disciples would not have experienced this moment. And what we're going to see at the end of this chapter, the people who are around them would not have experienced the glorious moment, and the sisters would not have experienced it. Had I gotten my way and gotten out of the hospital early, I would not be here sharing with you what I'm sharing with you. The story would be a lot different because, truthfully, had I left the hospital early, I probably would have been readmitted to the hospital and still in the hospital. Because, again, you all remember there's an infection in my body. But I'm not focused on that. I'm not focused on the fact that this thing could potentially kill me. No, I'm focused on the fact that I don't want to be in the trial, and that's what we do to God. I'm not calculating the risk or the consequences of coming out too early. You know, when you bake a cake, I don't bake because I'm terrible at it. But when you bake a cake, right, if you pull it out too early, it's going to be lumpy in the middle. It's supposed to rise, right? That's what it does. Rise. Okay. You don't get that rise out of it, right? And you know nobody wants to eat some lumpy cake. You leave it in there too long, it's going to be burnt. The beauty of going through trials is that God knows just how long we need to be in it. However, sometimes we make the decision to jump ship early. And because of free will, he's not going to stop you. He's not going to say, don't jump out. He's going to allow you to jump out. But yet when you do, you're taking so many other risks. You're opening yourself to other types of infections. Yet the sisters, they had a word twice. The original word from the messenger, and now they have the word. Martha has the word where Jesus said, your brother will rise again. But what do you do when the word is not enough? How do you handle that when the word is not enough? When the trial is so big, the pain is so real. I know what your word says, but it's not enough right now. I know what you've spoken to me, but it's not enough right now. Had you shown up on time, I would not have to be suffering like this. God, had you just completely healed me and got me out of the wheelchair, I wouldn't have to struggle like I'm struggling now. But again, as we established in our first point, that this thing is purposeful. There's something that's going to be produced out of this. And I had to remember while I was laying there is that it's interesting the way, like, you frame sentences, because sometimes what we'll do is we'll put God's word first and we'll say, your word says this, but this trial is really bad. Your word says this, but this situation is really tough. You see, when we frame sentences like that, we have them framed in the wrong way. I had to come to the realization that this situation is bad. This moment of suffering is tough, but your word says that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, Isaiah 26 and 3. I don't want to be here right now, but Philippians 4 and 6 says, to be anxious for nothing, but to pray about everything, right? To make my request known to God with thanksgiving, and then the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard my heart and guard my mind in Christ Jesus. And so don't come out of your trial too early. Embrace the trial. Don't try to avoid it. James 2 and 4 in the Message says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Again, when we try to come out of these trials too early, we come out a little deficient. We come out underdeveloped for the purpose that God has for us. And so again, had I gotten my way, I would not be here sharing with you what I'm sharing with you today. And so lastly, your trial will bless others. If we decide to embrace the trial and not run from it, your testimony has the potential to bless other people. So verse 43, it says, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Verse 45 says this because as you read further, you already have one glorious moment, but now we're about to see a second glorious moment. Verse 45 says, therefore, so because Lazarus suffered, because Lazarus died, because Lazarus went through what he went through, right? What's interesting is that we never see any words from Lazarus during all of this, right? You never hear anything from him. But when I was going through, people were hearing from me. Again, blowing up phones, right? Get me out of here. But verse 45 says, therefore, so because of what he went through, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. So as a result of your suffering, when we understand that it is purposeful, when we understand that it's bigger than us, when we decide I'm going to embrace it and not avoid it, it has the potential to cause others to believe in Jesus Christ. You see, I don't know who was watching when I got in my accident. I don't know who has seen the pictures of my car. But you can't look at the pictures of my car and say that it was some type of science that got me out of there. Right? It wasn't physics. It was simply the hand of God that delivered me out of that car. And now, here we are in another moment while I'm in this hospital. It was I believe it was a Friday night, and I had transferred to my new facility in Dallas. I spent some time in Waxahachie, and then I went to a select specialty hospital in Dallas. And it was time for me to get up and move around, do some things. And one of the things that you deal with a spinal cord injury is that your blood pressure kind of fluctuates all over the place. Some days it's good, some days it's bad, sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. And after being up for a little bit, my blood pressure began to drop, and it began to drop pretty fast. The next thing I know, I'm unconscious, laying on the floor beside my bed. In addition to going unconscious, my heart stopped for roughly 15 to 20 minutes, something like that. My heart stopped. The nurses had to resuscitate me. They had to hit me 3 times with the whole shocking mechanism, all of this stuff to get me to come back. Now, hold on. Let's think about this. A man with no history of heart problems At no point in time has my heart shown that it was bad. It had some clogged arteries. It had anything going on with it. Here I am in the midst of already struggling, dealing with this bone infection, and now you're telling me I died for 15 to 20 minutes? I died for 15 to 20 minutes. And you say, well, why is that important? Because the same way that Jesus Christ called Lazarus up out of the grave, that's what woke me up when I was laying in the hospital. What's the point of me telling you so that you will believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is? When he says he's the healer, when he says he's the one that can bring the dead back to life, sitting here in front of you, here I am. I didn't have to wake back up. The shocks could not have worked. There are people, when their heart stops, their heart stops. They can shock them for an hour. They can give them all the epinephrine, whatever. But I came back. And now this testimony has the potential to, again, show and bless others and let them know who Jesus Christ is. And so that's what it did for Lazarus. Jesus calling him out of the grave, it pushed others to believe that Jesus is who he said he is. And so I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what type of trial you may be going through. Maybe feel like you want to throw in the towel, you want to give up. Maybe you've been in this trial for too long, right? Maybe it's been some years for you. Some people have struggled for years with things. But I want to encourage you not to. If you're still breathing, you have a purpose. If there's still breath in your body, you have a purpose. Even in the midst of your suffering, I can't tell you what that is. I'm not God. But what I can tell you is that it is for a purpose, and he's got your back. And all he wants to do is use your life to show others who he is. Lazarus, he suffered sickness and died. His sisters suffered loss. And the community, they were there mourning. They experienced loss as well. But it was all for one thing: belief in Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And our lives are to be a testament of who he is through the things that we go through, whether that's through suffering, loss, how I treat my neighbor, whatever, how I serve other people. It is to be a testament to who Jesus Christ is. So whatever the action or the situation is, it's an opportunity to fulfill his will, which according to John 6 and 40 is to believe in the one that he sent. Jesus told the disciples, this is the will of the Father, to believe in the one he has sent. And now, again, going back to Romans 8:29, if we are to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, our lives on display is to give people an opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. So my encouragement is to hold on, to know that your trial is purposeful. It's much bigger than you. Embrace it. Don't run from it. And as a result, therefore, as we read in verse 45, it will bless others. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. God, I thank you for what you have done in my life. I thank you for the opportunity to share the goodness and the glory of who you are. Father, it is only by your hand, it is only by your grace and by your goodness that I'm here today. God, that my family, my friends, my sons, they can look at their dad and say, it's only by the hand of God that he's here. I thank you, God, for using me to be a testament to who you are. And I pray, Lord, that for all of us who are going through, who are suffering, who are facing tough situations, God, that we would understand that it is for your glory. You have a purpose. And when we signed up and said yes to you, we then put ourselves in the position to go through tough situations and to go through suffering. And so I ask, God, that you help us not to throw in the towel, but to continue to depend and lean on your word and trust you for the journey.